Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious God, we're just so thankful that we can come to your house this day and we can study and learn about you. God, we just ask that you be with us, that you lead us, that you guide us, Lord Jesus. And we will forever give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Okay, so I had a discussion. I was talking to Terry, and I know Terry, when we looked at the quarterly, when Pastor was going to be off, we thought, oh, Ezekiel, that's a different one to have to try to break apart and teach. And so Pastor said, Terry, do what you want to do. It doesn't have to be from the quarterly. And so then I had an idea what I wanted to do. And I went down to Rachel's and I came back, and for some reason I just didn't feel like I really wanted to do it. So anyway, I changed my mind, but I went to looking at the quarterly, and I thought, wow, this is some heavy duty stuff. And I've heard about Ezekiel, I've talked about Ezekiel, I've read Ezekiel, but I really didn't quite understand the whole entire thing. So, we're going to look. So, go back to March 4th. It's lesson one in your quarterly, if you have that. There are some more quarterlies back there if somebody doesn't have a quarterly. But, do you have one? There's one right in my... Okay. I've read the book. You've read the book. I know, but it's good to be able to follow along. I told him if there's any questions, he gets to field them. But I think this teaches us, you think Ezekiel. So what's it for today? What's it going to mean for us today? But I think it does mean a whole lot, because it talks about when God calls, we must respond in obedience. And I think because of that, it's very meaningful. But it's just, you'll see, it's a little different because there's a lot of object lessons and a lot of more symbols, I think you would say, than just the reading of the scripture. It's broken down into several parts, and lesson one, which is the one that I'm going to basically deal with today, is God's glory and Ezekiel's call. He was called. His hand, God's hand was on him. God's word was in him. You'll see that happens. And then God's message came out through him. Now, he had a uniquely different situation. Like I said, the first lesson is, I'm going to just look at the whole thing and then come back. Lesson one is God's glory, and Ezekiel's call. Lesson two, which would have actually been for March 11th, was the temple sins and departing glory. So the glory left the temple. And then lesson three, which should be today, is the captivity is coming. When you read these titles and you look at this, you think, wow. And then next week's lesson is the captivity will end. And then it goes one more week after Easter. Easter, there's the traditional Easter lesson. But on lesson six, it says God's glory returns. So when I looked at it that way, I thought, wow. God's glory, that's a very heavy, important thing. But the fact that God's glory departs, that's sort of a frightening thing to me. And then being in captive, but if you look at captivity will end. And then I think the promise that's there, it's God's glory will return. So we're thankful that we know that God's glory is going to come back to us. So let's look at a few of these different things. This unit studies covers 11 chapters, and I just wanted to say some aspects of this book are difficult to understand due to symbolic representations and unusual physical actions. That sounds like real big. I thought, as I'm reading this and thinking about this, I was like, oh Lord. But once you get the whole picture, then I began to understand it a little better. But if everything works well, we'll have a little video clip. Not now. It'll be much later. I could see Jose was like... But I have a video, and it's a few minutes long, but it actually, it really makes you picture it differently. So I thought that was a good thing for me, so maybe it would be a good thing for you. Okay, so Ezekiel's life, he's a prophet, and he's with a displaced people. And his words, you know, you think about what someone sees, what you hear, and what you feel. And I think that that's truly very much part of this. The role of any prophet is twofold, because you have the forthtelling, where the prophet reminds the people of what God had previously said through his messengers. And then there's the foretelling, where the prophet makes specific statement of what God intends to do in the future. This book of Ezekiel is actually both, because judgment's going to bring destruction on their beloved city. However, in God's timetable, it will be restored. So it's like if you look at the end of the book, which is lesson 6, and this is lesson 1, you'll see that truly God's restoration is there. And I think that's great peace for us, because even if we go through hard times, and even if there's things that aren't easy for us, you know what? It's going to come back, and it's going to be great. Okay, so the first, in your book, I think not all the verses are in the quarterly, but the first verse is, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of, this is pronounced Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So what did he see? What did Ezekiel see? Now, I think this first part tells me something. Verses 2 and 3 aren't in there, but that'll be some of the other information that we'll get maybe more when we read or watch the YouTube video. But the thing is, the book opens with informations. And to me, it's a chronological timetable. I think of that as being a lot of biblical things are, they used it as a history. But the 30th year probably actually speaks about how old Ezekiel actually is. Since he's a member of the priestly tribe of Levi, 30 would actually be the normal time to begin one's ministry. And notice how he not only records the month, he gives you lots of details, doesn't he? He says about the 30th year, the 4th month, the 5th day. That sounds like Rhonda. You know, I'm always into all those details. Maybe once I got started, that's why this was a little easier for me. So why did Ezekiel see, hear, and feel? Okay, so that's, we have the vision. Let's read on. I believe I'm going to try to see what is here. Verse 4 is in here. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. You know, I think March to me is one of the windiest months. This March has been windier than most Marches. But I mean, like, literally the blowing and I just think we've had some really crazy winds. But a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now, verse 5, I don't think, oh, you have that too. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. This is where I was having difficulty. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. But it goes on here to tell us that, and I'm skipping down to verse 12. Well, they did too. And they went everyone straight forward. Whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Now I saw, I beheld the living creatures. Behold, one wheel, and literally the video depicts it as a wheel. One wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, and it has 4 faces. Now, I thought, I don't really know if I like that or what that, you know. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they had 4. They had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was at it were a wheel inside the middle of a wheel. So it's almost like a wagon wheel where one is inside the other. Now, the next verse we're going to read is 20, Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither were the Spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Okay, so let's just recap what we just saw and talked about. While looking northward, a tremendous thunderstorm comes. That makes it a little easier to understand. And the large cloud has intense lightning. I think maybe one of the times that I remember the lightning to be very intense was the night, whoops, I scratched my ear and lost my, was the night that the Johnstown flood, this would have been the 77 flood. We lived in Ford City, Pennsylvania, pastoring in Katanning at that time, and absolutely, without doubt, we were coming in and we looked, and Dave said, somebody is having a horrible storm. And as we watched, we put the kids to bed, I remember watching the lightning. I mean, we were, how far away is Ford City from Johnstown? I mean, it's not close, you know. It wasn't lightning in Ford City, that's in Armstrong County. It was lightning, you know, we were seeing it. It was lightning here, and I've heard many people talk about the lightning of the terrible, of the storm. So, glowing amber can be seen in the center. So you have this big storm, but in the center we have amber. What do we think of as amber? We think of amber as being the yellow light. Amber as a substance is a metal produced by compounding silver and gold. So it's silver and gold together. Consider how God appeared on other occasions in storms. There were other times, like Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai. There, you know, there was a thick cloud covering the mountain, and there was thunder and lightning. But anyway, out of the storm, Ezekiel had this vision that we just read about of a very unusual creature, a vision of four living creatures. The description has four faces, four wings, and straight legs. And they say that the straight legs differentiates, you know, makes them different from other animals, even though they're animal. One of them is a man, one of them is the ox, one of them is the lion, and one of them is the eagle. But they all have straight legs. That is like puts it towards us more as to the man. Now the human face represents intelligence. Doesn't that make us feel good? But it really does, that humans are above all other created life. You know, we have more intelligence, although sometimes playing with my new grand dog, I think he's pretty smart. You know, the face of the lion speaks of royalty and power. You think about the lion as being powerful. The ox face represents the strength of patient service. You have an ox face and it makes you think of patient service. Why? Because the you know, you think of the oxen as being a servant, one where, it's going to pull the cart. It's always doing somebody's work. The fourth face, however, was an eagle. And it represents swiftness and ability to see a very great distance. As for the wings, it says one set covers their body. Now, this is in verse 11, and you folks don't have that verse. One set of wings. Now picture this. This is why I'm actually going to have Jose show us something, because it's very difficult for me to picture some of these things. You have a head with four faces and four different things. One set covers the body while the other two are outstretched. The wings of each creature touch the wingtips of the creature on either side, and in complete harmony. That's something to think about. They had complete harmony. The four creatures can move in whatever direction the Spirit impresses on them. These creatures face outward, enabling a person to view all four faces. Regardless of the angle of sight, in the middle of the creature, there is a fiery core, which again appears as lightning flashes. as they swiftly move back and forth. Now, if you have your Bible, it's verse 15 and 16, it talks about noticing the wheel beside each of them. There is one wheel beside each of them, and then another wheel is like cut in right inside it, inside the other. The rims of these wheels are very tall, and this is another thing when you read it, and they're full of eyes. I mean, when you picture it, you know, I have a very, when I hear, read something, I picture. But I never think of a wheel as having pictures. In verse 22, and I don't know if you have that. Nope. An expanse, Ezekiel sees an expanse of a platform. He sees a flat platform, okay? Spread across the head of the living creatures. Now you think of platform, and I think it pretty much, it gleams, it sparkles like clear ice, and it's also a very awesome part of the vision. So, you know, we have all these, but I think that there was no, everything was above, like there was, you, no matter which way they're looking, they're able to see. And they go, remember what they do? They go the way this, they all go in unity, the way the Spirit is taking them. Okay, so we talked about, where are we at here? Ezekiel's vision. And now it's he has a vision of God. In Ezekiel 1, I didn't have my book, this book at home, so I wasn't sure what was in here. 1:24. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire. What color sapphire? Blue. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, there's that golden silver, that mixture again, as the appearance of fire around about and within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. Now the prophet is actually experiencing the glory of God in a dimension previously unknown to him. I mean, this was something that he never had before. Above the platform, Ezekiel sees the throne of God and a figure similar to a human. The throne appears to be sapphire. A sapphire is the middle stone in the second row of the high priest's breastplates. That's what this says. And in several references to the coming Jerusalem after the end of time, sapphires are part of the actual foundation. So that is symbolic. And here again, here's Ezekiel, but some of this stuff doesn't come about till much, much later in Revelation. So, I mean, like, it always blesses me to see how you can be reading a book in the Old Testament and then find some of the same information in Isaiah and, of course, in Revelation. The figure on the throne is seen from the waist up, and the glory of God can be realized as Ezekiel sees such dazzling splendor. The figure appears as shining brass. Can you imagine seeing this? I mean, like this, the beauty and glory and the colors were beyond imagination. So he not only, remember, he's going to have, I think we'll look at this, the video next, Jose, when you're ready. But because we'll talk about the vision, and then we're going to, what Ezekiel hears, and then in the end, we'll actually talk about how it made him feel. So, you know, ordinary human motives will appeal in vain to the ears and have heard the tones of the heavenly music. And you'll see and hear some of that stuff incorporated in this. And all the pomp of life will show poor and tawdry. What we have is nothing compared to what you're going to see in this crystal sea, the greatness of the beauty. Okay, so was that helpful? Were you, I mean, like, I don't know. I think when I can see something, you know, it helps me, you know, so I don't know. It was a little longer. I was looking for a picture originally. And as I looked for the pictures, I came across this video. And then I was, I don't know how to say this. I was sort of, I didn't like, I was a little freaked out by the music and the, you know, I mean, like, it just was different. But, you know, it talks actually about, in the scripture, it talks about the heavenly tones of the heavenly music, you know what I mean? And I guess that was their interpretation of the tones of what the heavenly music would be about. So, all in all, I felt like for me to visualize, I hope it wasn't, that you were okay with it, you know, like, because it was sort of freaky at first, and I thought, but when you sound it out, and when you think of a four-headed creature, and you think of a platform, you know, and the beautiful colors, and the, it just helps you to visualize it. So, okay, let's look at the next part of this lesson, which is Ezekiel's call. And that's in your book, looking at verse 2:2. And the Spirit entered into me, and when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. So after that amazing opportunity of a vision, you know, which is just like, you know, we think sometimes teaching, you know, fourth graders could come up with some really unique things. And I think, where on earth did they get it? But it was, you know, and some people would say it's in their imagination, but not necessarily in their imagination. It, you know, it actually could be something that they see in their mind, you know. And when you think about the scriptural, I know I shouldn't compare what kids see in their mind, but God's, you know, puts things in a place. So the first part was the vision. Now we're going to talk about the call. And he did have it was a difficult thing. He, in verse 1 of, it talks about God's commissioning word. Okay, I'm confused here. Yeah, I see. Okay, God's commissioning words begin with the designation of Son of Man, and it will be repeated over 100 times throughout the book of Ezekiel. Each time it says about the Son of Man. This designation stands as a reminder to the prophet of his human insignificance. So really, if you don't have, remember what I said way at the beginning, that Ezekiel had, God's hand was on him, God's word was in him, and God's message came through him. So, I mean, like, it does. You get the vision. And are we going to get this? Have any of you seen a vision like that? No, I sure haven't. I don't know too many people that would have ever seen a vision like that. But that was truly Ezekiel's vision, okay? And that was the way he described it in the word. Okay. But we do sometimes, I have had things come to my mind, and I think, you know, God wants me to do this. You know, God, I need to call somebody. I need to visit somebody. I need to do. And sometimes I'm not obedient, and I feel very bad afterwards because I hear that person was really sick or really needed someone or really. And then, you know, so you can imagine the importance of this whole thing for Ezekiel. Now, if you go to Ezekiel 1:28, and that's, again, not in your, actually, we're talking about the rebellious people that he is trying to help, because those are the people, they have been deported. You know, we hear about deportation and people, they have been deported to, Ezekiel has been deported from Judah to Babylonia. That could have been a good thing, a visual too, to see the map, to go, I don't need to, I'm not saying that. But I should have thought ahead about that. You know, going from Judah to Babylon. But he didn't go alone. There were 10,000 of his countrymen. And I always think if it says countrymen, there might have been women and children too. You know, I don't know that. But so often, you know, the biblical stuff is that way. So he must deal with the problems of living in a foreign culture. He's not at home, but he is with the same people. And after arriving there, that's when God places this calling on him. Okay? And what is he supposed to do? Minister to the discouraged people. And so often you think, you get excited. You feel like God calling you to something, and then you really want to do something exciting. And you're supposed to, minister to discouraged people. So that had to not been what he maybe, after having a wonderful vision like that, that he wanted to, would have to do. But God uses us where we are. Ezekiel experiences the Spirit entering him. In verse 2, that's it. The Spirit entered into me, when Ezekiel 2:2, when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Okay, so there we are. There will be occasions when the Spirit comes so strong to you that you know that it's right there. This teaches us how the Spirit can actually influence bodily posture. I mean, like, you're not being pressed down. You're going to stand and gesture and speech. You're not going to be afraid to talk to that neighbor or someone that's in your life, daily life. And he said unto me in verse 3, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Those were his people from Judah, and there were 10,000 countrymen, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. So he was given a job to make them feel okay, even though they had been deported. There was a lot of bad things happening for them. And so often we think about that, how it must have been, how it would be. None of us, I know Jose mentioned the other day about the whole Corrie Ten Boom, and that brought my mind back to her because my mother-in-law was a great fan of Corrie Ten Boom, and how some of those people that were in concentration camps or come to other countries. I remember Sister Bars giving stories about, Sister Bars was a missionary in Japan from our church after she retired, but she had been in an orphanage in Japan and was there when the beginning of the war began, in Japan, and when the bombing, and like she was one of the last to leave, but she was also one of the first that General MacArthur gave papers to return, that was technically a civilian. But where did she go in that in-between time? She didn't come back to Pennsylvania to her family and her friends. She went to Hawaii and was in concentration camps with the Japanese. And so, like, that was quite a different setting for her. But she spoke Japanese, but she was American. She pledged her allegiance to America. You know what I mean? Like, you think of what that lady, and I did an oral history of her for a grad class one time. And how many know Sister Bars? Any of you? Janet does. I don't know if anybody else here maybe would know Sister Bars. But Sister Bars was a tiny, tiny little lady. She looked Japanese almost in stature, and she was very thin. And the professor said, I want you to do an oral history of someone. So, maybe set up an hour to go visit someone and let them tell you about their life. I was grab work, okay? I worked probably for 8 hours, like on 2 days. Because when I started, she gave me this wealth of detail. And of course, I'm writing and writing and writing. And I realized we had only gotten to a first part. So I went back the second day and I did more. But you know what happened with that information? I was able, I put it together in a paper, and then I had some that I didn't even include. But when Sister Bars passed away, we actually made a booklet. I think I saw one. I know I have them at home. Of her life, just a little tiny booklet, but all the different things, the places, how she went, who provided her funding, and it was a very helpful thing. And so the director of our missions department in Harold Crosby, he contacted me and said, I think I'd like to send this to Springfield. And that's, of course, the headquarters for the Assemblies of God. And come to find out, it was put you know, as documentation in their library about their missionaries, you know. So like, you know, when I was doing it, I was doing it to get a grade, and I did get an A+, but, you know, guys, because the professor said to me, wow, you did a whole lot more than I was expecting, but I just did what she gave me, and then we added some pictures and just different things, but what a wonderful experience that was. But she was then sent back to Japan, like I said, very early, but she was sent to a discouraged people, and what did she do? But she brought Jesus. So that's the same thing for Ezekiel. He's being sent to a discouraged, you know, he's called to a ministry in a place with a difficult setting, and it's just hard, you know, because those people were rebelling. So in spite of all their experiences and how, and now they're being taken captive. Remember, I talked about the captivity. Verse 3 says, because of this, am I in here? I shouldn't keep looking at this book. I should just read out of one. Because of this, Ezekiel will not speak in his own authority. Rather, he declares to them, thus saith the Lord. Like, these aren't his words that he's sharing with the discouraged people. Now, for me, that takes, I feel like, you know, thus saith the Lord. You know, that's taken a lot on yourself. You know, who wants to step up and say, thus saith the Lord? You know, but this was a special, but the Lord was also giving a special assurance to Ezekiel. And regardless of Israel's response to his message, they will know that he is a prophet of the Lord. So we see that he has a distinct assignment. Verse 7 there in your quarterly, chapter 2, verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them whether they will hear. How many times do you tell somebody something and you think, they didn't even hear me? They don't want to hear me. They're not listening to me. Or whether they will forbear, you know, for their most rebellious. So like, when I first looked at this and was reading it, I thought, oh, this is really hard, and I don't really know that I'm explaining it that well to you, but I just believe that there is really a message for today. It's not just the message. Because once we are called, I'll go back to that page, I put my little clippers in here, once we're called, and then realize that God's hand is on us, and then he gives us his word, although maybe not in the fashion that he did there, the vision and all that. But then we can share the message through him. So let's see, where else are we going to go? Let's look at chapter 3 yet, because there's a little bit more there. Because Ezekiel does have a challenge. He has a vision, he has a call, he has a challenge. And I had a couple things here I really wanted to look at. Ezekiel 3:1-14. I actually was going to start with verse 14, but we could read 1 and 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, remember he called them a son, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of the Lord. So, oh, I have to stop. I'll stop right now. No, I can finish? Okay, I know. I wasn't going to have any time, and now here I am. But I did. There's a lot here. So anyway, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Okay, verse 3. I'm going to go to verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and then it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So he gave it to him. But verse 14, again, is in your book there. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Praise you. That's just exciting. So he saw the vision. He heard the call. He accepted the challenge. And all of these things are what prepared him to go and do what his call. He was called to minister to a rebellious people in exile, includes a marvelous vision of God's glory prior to receiving the specifics of his commission. The vast majority of us will never have such an amazing vision. However, Also true is God's not commissioning us to the same difficult task. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we too have the ability to follow and fulfill God's will for our lives, regardless of where and to whom it may be. No one is called without getting God's power. See, and I think like it might not be quite that flamboyant or whatever, but when you're called, he's going to give us the power. The question is, will we accept the call and the power? And sad to say, sometimes we don't. So that was really only one lesson, and I was going to go over three lessons today, just sort of condense it. But, you know, I think the video, I hope it was worthwhile. Anybody have a question there? My husband's going to answer them. If not, let's just bow our heads and pray. Precious God, we just are so thankful for how you can open our minds to something that's completely new to us. And we think of Ezekiel and how your hand was on him, just as your hand is on us. And Lord, please help us to accept that challenge and that call to speak to those around about us this week as we go about our daily duties. We ask, Jesus, that you be with us and be with our families, protect us. And we ask these things in your precious holy name. Amen.